Well, to the UK now, where a 28-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of the murder of veteran politician Anne Widdecombe. The former Conservative minister turned Reform UK spokesperson was found dead with serious injuries at her home in Devon in southwest England on Thursday. Police believe she was attacked almost 24 hours earlier. While a counter-terrorism squad was initially engaged, police now say there is nothing to suggest the attack was politically motivated. Peter Walker is a senior political correspondent at The Guardian. He spoke to me earlier from London. Peter Walker, welcome to Radio National Breakfast. What's the latest that we understand of this death of Anne Widdecombe?
The latest is that the police have arrested another man in his 20s. There was an earlier arrest a couple of days ago, but that man was later freed. There's been someone else who was arrested in a different part of the country. He's currently being questioned by police. We don't actually know much more than that, and the police obviously aren't going to say. But we do know it's a murder investigation. We know the police have said that, as far as they know, there's no political motive to it. But what the motive actually was, we'll probably have to wait until the trial, which might be quite some time. So it's currently a bit of a mystery.
Anne Widdecombe was a prominent figure in the UK, not only as a politician, but more widely. Tell us about her.
She was quite an unusual one because as a politician, she was quite well known. Even though she only held relatively junior roles, she was never a cabinet minister. She became well known, first of all, for her slightly hardline views. She was an interior minister near the start of her ministerial career. And there was a big news fuss because she insisted that pregnant women who were in jail would have to be handcuffed as were taken from the jail to give birth. That was slightly mistranslated, as she said that they were going to have to be handcuffed during birth, which wasn't actually the case. But she got a bit of a reputation for being a kind of tough conservative. I never actually knew her. She was before my time covering the Westminster world. But people I know who did know her say that, you know, she had these very trenchant views, but she could also be, you know, personally very nice. And it was interesting that after she did die, a lot of her former colleagues in the Conservative Party, even though she left them about 6 or 7 years ago to join what is now Nigel Farage's Reform UK party, even though she'd left their party, a lot of the tributes were very warm and people were saying that she was extremely nice. But she had this kind of second life. She left Parliament in 2010 and then became this slightly extraordinary kind of a TV personality for Rent. Quite soon after she left Parliament in 2010, she joined this very, very famous British dancing show, and she couldn't dance, but she was quite happy to kind of make fun of herself. And she had this kind of characteristic that was slightly kind of maiden aunt, a little bit of kind of Miss Trunchbull, but she was happy to play along with it. So she became, despite the fact the office that she held was quite modest, a really, really well-known person.
What's the reaction been to her death?
The reaction has been shock and worry. I mean, it's a very tragic thing. She was in her late 70s, but she was very fit. She's still doing TV and radio work. And in fact, the reason that the alarm was raised was that she was meant to be logging onto a Zoom call to do something to do with a TV broadcast, and she never did. And after 24 hours, I think the police were called. There has been, as in a lot of countries, the UK has suffered in recent years from lots of hatred against people in the political world. Some of that has spilled into actual violence. There have been two members of parliament in the UK that have been murdered in the last 10 years. As I said, as far as the police seem to know, this is not the case here. We don't know what the motive was. But obviously, when someone who's in the politics world dies in a very tragic and very grim way like this, particularly when they're well known for their very trenchant and quite right-wing views, then, you know, it makes people think. And some people on the right of politics were saying, oh, well, you know, we're not sure. There could be a political motive, but the police are stressing, as far as we know, there isn't one.
How isolated was her home, her property?
It was quite isolated. It was in the west of England. It was a cottage which wasn't very, very close to anything else. But, you know, she was unmarried and didn't have kids. But she lived this very full, connected life. She's on TV all the time. She still had a lot of friends in the politics world. And that's why when she didn't start, you know, returning calls, that's why the alert was raised fairly quickly.
Peter, on a separate issue, Reform UK's Nigel Farage stepped down as an MP last week amid ongoing scrutiny over his finances. He's expected to face a by-election. He received a $5 million gift from a crypto billionaire. What do we know about that?
It's all very strange. We only know that he received the $5 million because a Guardian colleague of mine managed to find that out. And the gift was given before he became an MP in July 2024. And Nigel Farage has insisted that because it was before he was a Member of Parliament and because it was a personal gift, he didn't have to, you know, tell the Commons authorities that he'd got the money. But the rules are reasonably strict, that they say that in the 12 months before you become an MP, if you get given anything that could be seen as construing an interest, you know, an obligation towards a person, then you do need to formally set it out. And I think most people would think that being given £5 million, even if the person giving it says, you know, this is just a gift, would count as that. So he's under investigation by the formal standards people within the Commons. And this decision to launch a by-election is a slightly unlikely thing to do. The slightly convoluted way is that if it is found he has done wrong, and if he's suspended from the Commons, if the suspension is long enough, then the local people in the constituency that he represents, if 10% of them or more sign a petition, then a by-election is called then. So he's basically tried to preempt this. But it's slightly strange because even if he does win, which, you know, everyone thinks he will, and he goes back to the Commons, then the investigation just starts all over again. So we might have, you know, we've got a by-election in August now. He might have to fight it all over again in maybe September. It's all slightly curious. He's trying to get the political initiative back, but I'm not 100% sure if it's going to work.
Peter Walker, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.